The scripture we're talking about this morning has Jesus being asked a question. And he replies that he'd already answered that question, but they didn't like that answer. So it was sort of like they didn't hear what was going on. Sometimes the people that are questioning Jesus are looking for a particular type of answer or want the answer that's already in their head. And Jesus, quite frankly, isn't giving it to them. It's not that he didn't answer the question, it's that he didn't answer the question in the way that they wanted it answered. It may sound a little familiar in our country today. We don't always get the answer we're looking for, so we find another way to phrase the question to get the answer we want. But sometimes we have to let go of what we're listening for and hear what the answer is being said. Back in February, when I was on sabbatical, I was in North Carolina, and it came the weekend, and our two granddaughters were involved in gymnastics, and they had an all-day tournament event, and moms and dads were going to go, Kathy was going to go. I was going to go too, but Connor, the oldest grandson in North Carolina, decided he really didn't want to go. And Connor gets so bored and unruly from time to time. I'm sure he's going to love being the example of this sermon. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what. Connor can stay overnight with me on Friday. We'll get up on Saturday and we'll just putter around the house here and he can do things and you guys come back in the evening. So that was okay. So Saturday morning got up, and I got up and was waiting for Connor, and he got out of bed. And so I did my imitation of donkey. I made waffles. Well, after we ate the waffles and everything, Connor said, I'm going to get my computer. And I said, well, first, take your plates to the kitchen. And then once you take your plates to the kitchen, I've put a laundry basket in the hallway outside of your bedroom. Take your night clothes and the clothes that you wore yesterday and everything and put them in the basket. Well, I went off to do something and I came back and there's Connor sitting on the couch playing Minecraft. I looked in on the dining room table and the dishes were still there. I looked into the hallway and I could see the basket was empty. So I said, Connor, what are you doing? He says, I'm playing Minecraft. You told me I could. I said, I told you you could do that after you cleared the dishes and after you gathered up your clothes. I said, were you not listening to me? And he said, no, I just didn't want to hear it. There's a lot of us that don't want to hear the answer. Sometimes I step on a few toes and I'd see ears going shut. That's it for the sermon. Well, there's power in action. Give me that next slide if you would, please. Now, this is helping me shorten this sermon down today. I want you to pay particular attention to what the questions say. No, let's go back. There we go. Does the computer have a mind of its own today? It's jumping around. Okay. Maybe it's got a timing error on it or something. Anyway, take a look at those questions as we talk about this. Jesus said in the scripture that the works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you don't believe. In other words, those that were questioning Jesus perhaps wanted a simple yes or no answer. But Jesus notes that all of his actions have been clear and plain. The things that Jesus is able to do don't come from a human power, but from a divine power. Jesus is reminding us how that we act and how we behave speak way louder than our spoken word. Sometimes people don't pay any attention to what we say until they decipher what we do. And they look at how we act. And then they judge us for what we say. Sometimes we even act in opposition to what we say, but that's a whole nother sermon for another day. Jesus was doing what God sent him to do. And the work that Jesus was doing could not be separated from the work of God. It was one and the same. We belong to God. Go ahead and, yeah, there we go. It's through Jesus, life, death, and his resurrection, that God has made claim on us. We belong to God, and nobody's going to have a chance to change that. Of course, that doesn't mean that discipleship is an easy road. Jesus often describes it to the contrary. But what it does mean is that we're going to know where that road ends. In being claimed by God, God is going to be truthful and fair on his word and going to make sure everything happens. And we know that if we're set on a discipleship path and we believe in Jesus Christ, that we're going to end up having eternal life and we're going to celebrate that with Jesus. And Jesus goes on to talk to his disciples, and he finds a way to assert that even though they may not be sure of his identity, that Jesus knows who he is. And while we ought to believe in Jesus, Jesus does not cease to believe in himself. There are times that we do not believe. Now we have to realize that nobody can take away what the Father has given to Jesus. The power of healing, the power of teaching, everything that is done through a gift through God. And whatever our call, whatever gifts or particular identity to Christ that we might have, are going to be mocked in this world. Sometimes disbelieved, belittled. And no matter how often that might happen, our calls, our gifts, our identity as Christians and disciples is never going to cease to exist. There isn't any power in this world that can take away your claim to Jesus Christ. There isn't any situation that God is going to turn his back on us. Oh, there's a lot of folks that don't believe, and there's a lot that scoff, and there's a lot that are searching for answers that are anything but theological. But we persist. We're still here. And we're here because of the identity that we have in Jesus Christ. That's what's at the heart of this particular scripture this morning. The very question of who Jesus' identity is. And we've had historians and even some theologians that say, yes, we know that Jesus existed. We have outside sources. We have historians. We have records of what went on. But we're not too sure about whether he was divine or not. There are other religions that say Jesus was a great man. He was a prophet. He was a preacher. Did great works in the world. But no, he's not the Son of God. In fact, we're the only religion in the world that has God incarnate coming into this world through Jesus Christ. Others have central figures. They have leaders. They're all human. Ours is the Son of God who gave his life for us and was resurrected. This particular group in the scriptures came to Jesus and asked if he was the Messiah, and I'm sure Jesus was wondering why that question was being brought up. Whatever the reason, he knew that the question was crucial to the reason he was there and to his mission on earth. But he had to make sure that these people knew that he was not just a teacher, not just a rabbi. In the text, Jesus responds that he had already answered the question. And he had done that on this side of the resurrection. Christians are content that the answer to the question is a resounding yes, but then we're looking backwards in history. We see what the final result was. We have to have some compassion for the people that were there, that were looking for a military leader, someone to drive the Romans out, someone to bring around the second coming of Israel, somebody that was going to be that dramatic figure. And Jesus just didn't quite measure up to what they were expecting. Jesus turns his ministry into one of being focused and one with God. He turns to the practice of atonement, being at one with God. Now, that's still a good subject for theologians to debate, good papers for us to write when we're in seminary, all those things, but it's one that we basically, at the bottom of our heart, we understand that Jesus is more than a good teacher. He's more than a leader. He's more than someone that's charismatic and can attract people to leave their jobs and follow him. He's even more than a miracle worker. And all of that difference is because of Jesus' connection with God is different. Different from any other connection that any human had ever had with God. The great leaders of the Jewish faith did not have what Jesus had. There wasn't that constant connection through prayer, that constant connection through looking into the crowd and seeing what needed to be done and coming to take care of the needs of those that were normally marginalized, those that were set aside, those that were ignored, those that were under the thumb of the government. Jesus saw them. And Jesus made that his lifelong passion of bringing God to them and healing them and then giving them a story to tell. Perhaps our plight as a United Methodist Church is God's opportunity for us to learn what it's like to heal. To learn that we don't have all the answers right away. That there are some prejudices and hurts that Jesus would have addressed very quickly. And we're still waiting for that. But I know that at the end of the day, at the end of the conflict, at whatever resolution comes, God's not going to pick a winner and a loser. God's going to say, "You are my children. Come home." We need to listen. We need to hear the other side. We need to hear those that we don't agree with. We need to find a way that we love the same God and accept the forgiveness and the grace of that God. Amen.